word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible. I never cease to be amazed by the efforts that are made in the mining process to bring precious materials out of the earth. Just stop for a moment and think about the depths to which miners must go to extract a precious metal like gold, for example, from the earth. Just think about digging through tons of rock and removing all of that material just to reach those nuggets of gold deep within the earth. Miners see depths of the earth that few people are ever going to see. Or think about those pan mining during the 49ers. Think about all of the sand and dirt that they sifted through to find those gold nuggets. I appreciate the efforts of gold miners because I believe it illustrates the effort that we have to make as diligent Bible students. As we come back day after day and dig through the Bible, we find these nuggets, these little sayings, these little teachings, these little things, these little quotes that bless our lives more richly than gold. How many times have we, been reading through the Scripture and found something that was speaking specifically to something that was going on in our lives at that particular time, some passage that would give us some wisdom or some understanding that we hadn't had before. So like a miner, every day we just keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper, looking for those jewels buried in there that God has left for us. Sometimes we find those jewels buried deep in passages that few people will ever read. Take Zephaniah, for example. Zephaniah is a book hidden deep in the Old Testament that isn't near as familiar as many of the other books of the Bible. And yet, nestled away in this book, there is a gold nugget, so to speak, that can bless our lives in unimaginable ways. Now, think about those miners, those 49ers that were sifting through looking for those gold nuggets. Anytime they found something, they definitely were going to take it with them and use it for their profit or benefit. And that's what we want to do with this nugget today. As we look at Zephaniah 3:17, we want to take this gold nugget with us in our hearts and allow it to profit our lives by putting it into practice. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the Mighty One, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." What a beautiful passage. And I can't think of a single day in my life when I didn't need to hear something like that. On the good days, it's just good to be reminded where your blessings come from so that you can stop and give thanks, be drawn closer to the giver. But on the hard days, the painful days too, those are the days that you need to be reminded of this truth. So I'm offering you a gold nugget that I know will make you richer than any gold this earth has to offer. A few years ago, the best-selling and top Broadway musical was a musical entitled The Light and the Piazza. It told the story of Fabrizio Naccarelli, who was an Italian tie salesman who fell in love with the beautiful Clara Johnson, an American on vacation in Italy. And there's a scene in the musical where they sing this love song called Say It Somehow. And the crescendo of the love song is that they really can't even express themselves in words, so they just sing the word ah. And it's joyful and it's exultant and they rejoice in each other that way. And there was a New York Times review by one of the great theater critics, Stephen Holden, and the title of the review said it all. A love song that speaks when words fail. Well, I would say that you could describe Zephaniah 3:17 in the same fashion. A love song that speaks when words fail. This gold nugget speaks of God's delight in blessing the people who turn to Him with their whole heart. People were not turning to God on a wide scale during the days of Josiah when Zephaniah preached. The nation of Judah had not learned anything from the punishment that God had brought against Israel for her idolatry. She was living in idolatry too. And Josiah did all that he could do to turn the people back to God's way. Zephaniah and messages like this one were a major part of that change, in encouraging that small minority of people who were still trying to do what's right, to keep hanging on and to keep doing what God wanted them to do. But sadly, Josiah's changes were short-lived, and the people reverted back to their old ways after his death. And today, people are not turning to God on a wide scale like we would hope for. But still, as individuals, we know that we can bring delight to the heart of God by turning our hearts to Him today and every day. We cannot control everyone else and what they choose to do toward God. But we do control what we choose to do. And we can make sure that we are among the remnant of those who love God and want to serve Him with everything they have. That word remnant is used often in Scripture to refer to a time when there was just a small number of people turning toward God. I want to make sure I'm among the remnant, and I know you do as well. May God's delight to bless us inspire us to take delight in obeying and serving Him. So let's look at this passage, and let's notice some of the blessings that God has provided for His people. Number one, God delights to give us His comforting presence. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord God, the Lord your God, is in your midst." God has promised that He is with us, and He will never leave us. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." The Lord is our God. Notice how the passage says, the Lord your God, not some distant God who doesn't care about what's happening. In the political landscape, citizens often complain that politicians don't stand up for the cause of the people. He's not our governor. He's not our senator. She's not our representative. They don't represent the real cause of us, the people. But here, Zephaniah was able to say, "The Lord your God." He knows you. He understands you. He represents you. He will stand for you. He knows what is happening. God has never left or deserted his children. He takes deep delight from being involved in our lives, and he loves to bring us into his presence. He pursues your life relentlessly, tirelessly, over and over again, no matter how long, no matter how far. Even today, the Godhead delights in dwelling in our lives. When I use the term Godhead, I'm using a term that the Bible uses to speak of the God who is represented in three persons. It's an idea that's often called the Trinity: the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They are all God, they are all divine in all of their qualities, but they are distinct in their persons. But the Bible specifically speaks of each one of them as being present in our lives as children of God. Like John 14:23, Jesus answered and said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Jesus said, "If you love me and you keep my word, then my Father and I will love you, and we will be present with you. We will come to you and make our home with you." 1 John 4:15 says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God." Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith. And 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that our body is a temple for the Holy Spirit who is in us, whom we have from God, and we are not our own. What an amazing privilege. Who am I? I'm nothing. I'm an earthen vessel. I'm a jar of clay. I'm made out of dirt. Who am I that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit would be with me every step of my life? And yet this is the promise that God has made: the Lord your God in your midst. This is why I'm so confident that my prayers will be answered. This is what makes me so confident that I can faithfully serve the Lord and preach his word. This is what puts my worship to God in a whole new perspective. And when I'm hurting and when I'm sad, this is where I find comfort: just in knowing that God is with me. The Bible says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 41:10. However, God will not share his place with the presence of other gods, and he will not force his presence where he is not invited. In Exodus 20:4-5, God said, "You shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in the earth. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." Now, we might think, well, I'm no idolater. I don't worship any other gods. I don't have any statues or idols or images or anything like that. But what we should keep in mind is really that idolatry is putting something in God's place. Now, sometimes that might be an idol. Sometimes it might be something else. If there's anything in my life that's more important to me than God, that becomes an idol. I don't want to have any idols in my life because I want God to be present with me. I know God's not going to share his place. Here's the second thing. God delights to give us his saving power. His saving power. Zephaniah 3:17 says that God is the mighty one who will save. Folks, our God is greater than all others. Nothing and no one can stand against him. When he determines to accomplish something, he accomplishes his purpose with ease and comfort. Whether it's parting the waters of the Red Sea, whether it's causing the sun to stand still, God cannot be stopped from accomplishing what he seeks to accomplish for his people. We may doubt how strong we are. We may have moments where we feel like we can't hold it together. But we should never doubt for one second what the mighty one in heaven can handle. Nothing can overwhelm him. He is wise enough and powerful enough to handle every situation. And his purpose is to save us and to have us by his side for all eternity. And he will not allow anything to stand in his way. Isaiah 14:24 says that the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, "Surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand." Really and truly, my friend, there's only one thing that can keep him from saving you. And that's you. There's only one thing that can keep him from saving me. And that's me. If I refuse him, if I refuse to accept his will, if I refuse to believe and obey, that's the only thing that can keep the mighty one from saving me. Here's the third thing. God delights to give us his quieting love. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "God will quiet you with his love." Through most of Zephaniah, God is seen as a powerful judge, bringing a punishment upon sin. But here in this chapter and in this verse, he is seen as a loving father. A child will run to her father's arms after being hurt, and her father will gently pick her up and do his best to comfort her and to ease her fears. He wants to be able to quiet any concerns or worries or pain with his love. And really, that's one of the most powerful things he can do to strengthen a child's faith in a loving, compassionate God who is the Father in heaven. I remember one night we were visiting at a church when my son was very young, and there was a storm, and the lights went out in the church building. This was after services, but we were still standing around talking. I was at the front of the auditorium, and my son was in the back, and I could hear him crying. I knew his voice. I started to feel around and make my way toward the back, and following his voice, I finally made my way back there to him, and I picked him up and put him in my arms. And even though it was still dark in the auditorium, and it would be a little while before the lights would come back on, he felt safe in my arms. And he quieted down. And I know for all of us, we probably have something going on in our lives right now where we're scared, we're hurt, or we're sad, or we're troubled in some way. And the message that God wants us to hear right now is that He is offering His embrace, and His desire is to quiet us with His love, just as any father would for his child. God's love has the power to quiet the storms that are raging inside of us. That does not mean that the troubles or afflictions will immediately vanish. That doesn't always happen in this life. It does mean that God will give us enough love and peace to be able to face them. He may not stop the storm around us, but He can calm the storm within us. And there is nothing that can separate us from His love. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, here's the final blessing that is mentioned in this passage, and it's my favorite. It's not my favorite because it's any more important than the other three, but it's my favorite here because, as far as I know, this is really the only passage in Scripture that really talks about this blessing, and it is this: God delights to give us His joyful singing. Now think about that. Zephaniah 3:17 says, God will rejoice over you with gladness. He will rejoice over you with singing. Did you hear it? Did you catch it? God will rejoice over you with singing. Now the Bible tells us in Luke 15:7 how heaven rejoices when a sinner repents of their sins and turns back to God. Heaven rejoices. Heaven celebrates this. Heaven sings a joyful song. God sings a joyful song for His children who turn to Him. Can you imagine what it will be like to hear that song that God sings for us? I can't even comprehend the magnitude, the voice that is so powerful that it simply spoke and the entire universe came into existence, is the voice that will sing a song of love and grace and mercy for us. There is no song that could compare with the wonder of the song that God will sing. There is no singer who could compare with the one singing it. There is no voice that could even begin to compare with its beautiful tone and quality. There is no melody or lyric that could match the beautiful tune that God pours out for His children when He sings over us with loud, passionate singing. I recently saw a video on social media of a wedding. The groom was standing at the front of the auditorium. The groom was deaf. When the bride entered into the auditorium, she stopped at the end of the aisle. There was a beautiful song playing. And as the song played, she signed the words of the song to her groom. The song was a beautiful love song that expressed that she the love that she had for him. And it was a beautiful scene to see how moved the groom was to have this woman that he loved so much expressing these things to him in such an intimate and personal way. See, I'm asking you to picture that and realize this is someday going to happen for all Christians. You hear God singing a song for them. When we picture heaven, it's easy for us to picture singing songs for God, and we know that He is worthy of our praise and our adoration. But what a beautiful, beautiful thought that God is also going to sing over us with rejoicing. Now, do not say, well, that can't be for me because I'm too guilty for God to rejoice over me. No, don't think that. Zephaniah 3:15 says the Lord has taken away your judgments. Zephaniah 3:19 says, I will save the lame and gather those who are driven out. I will appoint them for praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. God's going to take away that shame. Do not say, I have too many problems for God to ever rejoice over me. God says, I'll cast out your enemies. Zephaniah 3:15, I will give you victory. Zephaniah 3:17, I will deal with your oppressors. Zephaniah 3:19. Do not say, but God just seems too far away. I just can't picture it. I just can't hold on to it. No. Don't look through the eye of faith. You won't see Him that way. Or excuse me, don't look through the eye of the physical eye. You won't see Him that way. But look through the eye of faith, and you will see that the Lord your God is in your midst. In your midst. If there's anyone listening today who has not yet obeyed the gospel, I am hoping that you will give God a reason to sing today. Heaven will rejoice to see you surrender your heart to the Lord and receive His salvation. Do you believe in Jesus? Jesus said if we believe in Him, we can have forgiveness of our sins, John 8:24. Are you willing to repent and turn your heart to the Lord? Luke 13:3. Are you willing to confess with your mouth the faith that you have in Jesus? Romans 10:10. Are you willing to be baptized in the name of Christ? If you are, then the Bible promises that your sins will be forgiven and forgotten, Acts 2:38. There's no reason to wait. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. The only thing that can keep God from delighting in you is you. Don't let that happen. Friend, if there's any way that we can help you, please contact us today.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.